tomorrow is 4 weeks since I had the total knee replacement. Dudley, if you will go with these two folks and Jaden. Yeah, they've got a class for all of you. We need to pray for the Julian family. Julius has injured a knee and he's having problems. Knees, this seems to be a bad area for knees. Well, I wish it was. Have you ever, reading through the Bible, you come across a verse, and that particular verse really catches your attention, causes you to stop and think about it? You think, oh, that's a beautiful verse. That's such an encouraging verse. And that's sort of the way that I get a lot of the messages. Is I'm reading through the Bible and a verse will sort of almost jump off the page at me. I think, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And that's what happened a little over a week ago. The Lord gave me a verse. And so I took the verse. I said, great, this is going to be what the Lord wants me to preach about. And so I tried to develop a message. And I got one page of message written. I said, nope. The Holy Spirit's not comfortable with this. The Holy Spirit doesn't like what I'm doing. Delete. And then later on, during the week, I thought, well, I got to have this message developed. I better get back on this, and I did. And I got about a page and a half done, and the Holy Spirit said, that's not what I want. Delete. I started a third time. I thought, man, I got to get this message in now because, you know, it's almost Sunday morning. Holy Spirit still was not happy. Delete. So, Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a beautiful verse. My question this morning is, what kind of a bird are you? Now, the Bible talks about a lot of different birds. And some are talked about in a good way, and some are talked about in a not so good a way. And I don't know about you, I want to be an eagle. But there are other birds that are mentioned. And so I'd like to just consider them a little bit before I really get into the message. One of the birds that is mentioned on a couple of different places is the dove. And a dove is sort of a nice bird. I don't know if you have, you know, ever observed a dove cooing. Coo, coo. And you think, oh, what a sweet bird that is. Connie and I were watching a dove one morning when we had our motorhome parked out behind the church. And we were watching a dove one morning at breakfast. We were sitting at the breakfast table, and as we sat there and saw the doves around the bird feeder, we had a bird feeder out there, and they were picking at it. One dove got out in the middle of the park, the driveway, and as we watched, all of a sudden, poof, and nothing but a cloud of feathers, and a hawk had decided that dove for breakfast was just this, what was on its menu. One of the doves that the scripture mentions is in, talks about the dove being harmless as doves, being us, being harmless, being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Harmless as doves, that means we do no harm. A dove is not a very smart bird. They get themselves shot because it's dove season. They get themselves eaten by hawks. Now, we're to be wise not as a dove. God never said that the dove was wise. We're to be wise as serpents. Harmless as doves. There's another dove mentioned. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Hosea, which we studied on Wednesday night, if you remember. In Hosea 7:11, it tells us this: Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt and they go to Assyria. Talking about the fact that Ephraim did not turn to God, did not seek recourse with God or supply by God. Instead, they were like a silly dove. They turned elsewhere. So we don't want to be doves this morning, okay? Even if they are harmless. Now, God gave Israel a dietary command dealing with several birds. And let me just read that. It's Leviticus 11:13-20. It says, "And these are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the ossifrage, the osprey, the vulture, and the kite after his kind, every raven after his kind, and the owl, and the night hawk, and the cuckoo, and the hawk after his kind, and the little owl, and the cormorant, and the great owl, and the swan, and the pelican, and the giger eagle, and the stork, and the heron after her kind, and the lapwing, and the bat, and all fowls that creep upon all four shall be an abomination to you." These are the birds that shouldn't be eaten. Why should the Jews not eat these birds? Because they are carrion eaters. And carrion is roadkill. And be driving along the road, decide you're going to have lunch and stop and pick something up. There's a spiritual application here. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. This week, this past week, has been a week that Connie and I have not experienced in over 2 decades. Over 2 decades, over 20 years since we have experienced a week like this past one. And maybe some of you are going through some of these very same things. And it's all Tim's fault. He's teaching a Sunday school class. And this week and last week happened to be about anger. And sometimes God has to take us to places where we don't want to be, where we have no intention of going, and yet he takes us there for a reason. I don't know what kind of a week you guys have had this past week, but this has been an unusual week for us. Like I said, it's all Tim's fault. It's always good to have somebody to blame. One of the things that get preachers fired up is to preach a message on some particular topic and then see the people that God has entrusted to your care not pay any attention to what you have shared with them. And that happens every once in a while. You'll see someone in the congregation do something or going through some kind of a process, and you think, well, I just preached about that. Why aren't they doing what I told them they could do? And you wonder if they're listening. You wonder if they're making application. But God had to teach me a lesson this week. And people, if I shed a tear or two while I'm sharing with you the path that he took us down, it's not because I'm sad. It's because I love God. And I know that he will not take any of you on any path that is not his will and that does not fulfill his purpose for you. This week, I came to a point where I totally lost control of my own emotions. Where I became angry at a situation, not at an individual, at a situation that was my own doing. And like I said, I like to have somebody I can blame. But I couldn't even blame him because he'd taught the truth. And folks, that's what we're here for. That's what we're here to do, is learn the truth and make an application of the truth to our lives. Now, we can go back at this point to our opening verse. Like I said, I started this message three times and could not complete it, had to hit the delete. And God finally got my attention and got me to see where he wanted me to go with this verse. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Folks, I want to be an eagle. But one day this past week, I found myself acting like Berg. I don't know if you've ever seen Goonie Bergs, birds. They have to run to get flying. They crash when they come in for a landing. And I crashed. Every day, since we went through some of the things we went through this week, I was aware of an emptiness in me. And maybe you too have come to a point where occasionally you feel that kind of emptiness. And you know what's missing, but you don't know how to get your hands on it. I fully believe that the things that happened were of the Lord. That he had to take me down a particular road so that I could know what it was like because I had forgotten. I've been saved for over 50 years. It's been a long time since I've been in the world. fact, I've been saved for over 60 years. That's hard to believe. But the Lord had to take me back to a place where it's difficult to help anyone if you've never been in their shoes. And a lot of people will say, well, I know what you're going through, but they don't have any idea at all. You're experiencing something that is very personal to you and very uncomfortable. And there's even pain involved, emotional pain, and sometimes physical pain. And until you experience that for yourself, you can be sympathetic and you can have compassion, but you cannot know what a person is experiencing. I found myself, normally day by day, I'm walking with the Lord. He's close by. I'm talking to him as I go through the day. He's talking to me through his Holy Spirit. But there was a particular day in this past week where I was unable to reach out and touch God. For a period of 4 or 5 hours, God was not available. He was available. I couldn't get there because of what I was permitting to go on in my life. And I know that Tim has done a good job of teaching this lesson on anger. And there are times when I teach lessons here in this service or the evening service, and I'm hoping that you will make an application of that lesson for your own benefit, not for mine, but for your own benefit. But God had to show me something this week. And at the time, it was not pleasant. But I'm glad he did, because it reminded me of where I used to be before Jesus Christ changed my heart. Like I said, I believe God orchestrated all the things that took place. And we have a verse that you hear me preach, or, you know, share over and over and over. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. I know that verse. I know it's there. But for 4 or 5 hours this last week, I couldn't even think about this. How did it all start? Well, someone had some pride tucked away in a part of their life, and that person was me. Remember, I've talked about pride, us all having it. Well, the Lord showed me something that I needed to know. And I hope he'll do the same for you. Maybe not in quite the way he did for me, but I hope that he will do that. Because for a few hours, I didn't know how to fix things. And that was part of the pride problem. I have always been able to fix things, so I thought. But you know who really fixes them? Him. God. Our Heavenly Father. He is the one who really goes with us through the day, and he fixes things. He prepares the way. He opens the way. My wife, when she hates driving, especially if I'm riding in the shotgun, because I tend to want to advise. I used to scream, but now I just advise. I give her advice. And sometimes she gets a little hot under the collar. And she advises me. I can either keep my mouth closed or I can get out. Or I can ride on top. It's my choice. But I had some pride tucked away that I didn't realize was there. I think most of us have no idea of just how much God hates pride. Let me share a few verses with you about pride, give you an idea of what God thinks about it. Start with Psalm 10, 4 through 6. It says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity." There's so many different ways we can make God laugh. God really knows how to dish it out, folks. I want to tell you that. He knows exactly what your hot buttons are. So does the devil. And sometimes, like Job, he says, "Okay, devil, I'm taking my hands off right now. You got 3 or 4 hours, 5 hours. Do your stuff." And the devil does, and we suffer because of our pride. You know, the Bible tells us confess our faults one to another, and that's sort of what I'm doing this morning. We wanted to save some money on our telephone service. So, Jane's smiling because we told Jean what happened. Now she's laughing, okay. We had a chance to save 75% on our phone service if we made a change. Yeah, it's a big, big difference. Went from $82 to $24 for two lines. So I called the company. We were already doing business with them. They said, "Oh, sure, we'll be glad to take you on. Here's what you have to do. We're going to send you a couple of SIM cards in the mail, and you just put those in your phone and call us, and we'll set everything up. You can keep your same numbers." Sounded great. That was the first part of pride in my life. I thought, okay, I understand what they're talking about. I know exactly how to go about this. And then the SIM cards didn't come in the mail. They said they would mail them. They didn't come in the mail. We have two sources of mail. One is the apartment. We don't like mail sent there. We don't trust the PO, the post office, to put it in the right slot. There's several hundred apartments there. And so we have our own mailbox over at the UPS store, and that's our mailing address. And so we checked them both every day. Nothing came. 5 days went by. We got an email from the company. We were the carrier, and they said, "If you don't change it today, it's not going to get changed." And we didn't have the SIM card, so I called them, and they checked. They said, "Well, those SIM cards were sent on the 5th. They were delivered on the 5th. And I said, "Well, they weren't delivered to us." "Well, we'll have to send you out some more." And then we started checking around, and the SIM cards were in the apartment office because they had not been mailed. They'd been sent FedEx, and they were holding them for us, and they hadn't notified us. Okay, no problem. I know exactly what to do now. We've got the SIM cards in our hands. We'll go over to such and such a store that we pay to take care of our computer problems and phone problems every year. And so we went there. They changed the SIM cards, no problem, except we were told, well, you've got to have your phone, your phone turned off by your current supplier. So they said, we can't do that. You'll have to go to a company store. So we went to a company store and said, no, we can't do that. You'll have to go to a repair store. So we went to a repair store. And he said, no, we don't have to do that anymore. You've got such an old phone that they're not locked to begin with. You'll have to go to the new supplier, new carrier. And we didn't know where that was. And our phones didn't work because they had a new SIM card in them. So all the phone calls we had to make from here at the church. And so I made a lot of phone calls. And during that time, I was getting hotter and hotter and hotter because of my pride, my lack of knowledge, my lack of ability to do what needed to be done. Because I didn't have the power or the authority to do it. And so what happened? I got angry, Tim. Angry at myself. That's the wrong person to get angry because there's nothing you can do about it. I know none of you have ever had to go through anything like this. Now here was our problem. We didn't have phone service. And I was in the middle of handling two very important situations that had to have communication, immediate communication. And that was making me more unhappy with myself because I had initiated this mess. Well, I came to myself after 4 or 5 hours. I'd been trying to let the Lord take care of things. My wife was getting concerned that I was either going to have a stroke or a heart attack. And I was thinking that that was a possibility. And I thought to myself, this is going to be great. Church find out that I lost my temper, or I lost control, and died of a heart attack. What a way to go. That's not what my plans are, folks. I really don't plan on doing that. And the Lord showed us, and like I said, Connie was driving. And we were having discussions about the way she was driving and what she was doing. And those discussions were not going well. Now Connie had to drive again from here back over to Somerville, downtown Somerville, out by the Lowe's. We had just been there. That's where the store was for our primary carrier. And they are the ones who told us they didn't have to unlock our phones, but we'd have to go to the new supplier. And then we came back here so we could use the telephone and find them. And we did, so we had to drive back there again. And we walked in, and there was a young lady smiling, very glad to greet us. And I thought, oh, this is going to be horrible. And she said, in 10 minutes, I can have both your phones working. And you know, she was right. All this frustration, all this anger at myself for doing something dumb, she fixed it in 10 minutes. I felt so bad about what had happened, that I insisted she take a $10 tip. And she didn't want to, but she did. I said, "This is because you have kept me from having a heart attack." Now, you know why all of this happened? Because I did not make application of what he taught. I didn't. And I want you to understand that when we use this book to share principles that are in this book, to share the truth that is in this book, it will accomplish absolutely nothing if application is not made. Some of these other things that we were trying to accomplish were not going well. I knew they were not going well. Sound advice was not being taken. Plans were being made that I knew could not work. And here we were unable to communicate. Everything that happened was on account of my unrecognized pride. Pride of heart. Let's look at a couple more verses about pride. I want you to see what God says about it, because he hates pride in any of our lives and of any kind. Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly wisdom." Proverbs 13:10, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." The day that all of this happened, I was in unusual pain because of the knee replacement. And it wasn't helping. It wasn't helping. You see, I knew all these verses because I read the Bible through. I read my Bible. I knew the verses. I knew they were there. But the Lord had to put me in a place where I was totally unable to fix anything. I always had thought I was self-sufficient. I could take care of it. And that was hiding in my heart, but that was also pride. And I have seen elements of pride in some of our congregational experiences. And so when I talk about pride, I want you to make an application, to do the search. Because if you don't do it, God will search it out for you, and it's going to be costly. The day that we went through this, Connie and I love each other. We've been together for over 57 years. But you might have had a little difficulty recognizing that love, because we both did. I know all these verses, but I want you to understand that many times we can see things in other people's lives that we don't see in our own. And that's a problem. we're not being truthful with ourselves. We might think we've got integrity, but we don't sometimes when it comes to our own things. I could see pride in some of your lives, but I could not see it in my own until the Lord got involved. I hope there's a lesson there for you. Because that was a very unusual week. I don't want to go through a week like that again. Not anytime soon. Well, really never. So let's go back to our opening verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Look at the way the verse starts. But they that wait upon the Lord. What does that really mean? Now we have to go back to one of my favorite verses, one I have shared with you. You know the verse. You probably haven't memorized because you've heard it so many times. 1 Corinthians 14:40. How many know what that verse says? 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Done appropriately and in the Lord's timing, not ours. Lord's timing is everything, people. He has a time for us. He has a time for us to do whatever it is we're going to do. And he also has a time for us not to do it. And so we have to listen to what the Holy Spirit, who lives in our heart, is trying to tell us. I didn't listen. I said, okay, let's go get those SIM cards replaced. And I started a chain of events that took 7 hours. 7 hours of frustration and disagreement to a certain extent between my wife and I, the person I love, dearest in this earth, and it was because of my so, the Lord's timing is everything. We get so impatient, we run ahead of the Lord so often. And I know the Lord must get frustrated with us when we do that, but you would think that we would learn. I can't begin to tell you all the lessons I learned in this past week. Now, like I said, Tim's been doing a great job teaching this Sunday school class. And he has dealt with anger in a very understandable way. I just didn't make application. I paid a price. Now, there was a time about 5 hours into this situation where I was able to turn to the Lord and remember some of what Tim had been teaching. And so I had to call out to the Lord to forgive me for being what I was. And sometimes maybe you'll need to do the same thing. Proverbs 3:5-6 came to my mind at the very end of the situation as we were walking into that store where the young lady was able within 10 minutes to fix everything on both phones. Proverbs 3:5-6. And I hope you'll always keep these verses in mind. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. What a lesson. What a lesson. I had to come to the point that I couldn't even run. I had no strength left. I was totally dependent on the Lord for everything. My mind was confused. I didn't know what to do. And I was under attack by the devil because I had opened myself up to it with pride. Pride can cost you, folks. It can cost a lot. Pride can cause a lot of pain. It doesn't have to. There's a simple fix. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you ever thought to yourself, I'm confused. I don't understand what's going on here. Well, that should be the time that you realize that the Lord is not in that situation. Because God tells us in 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. And folks, there was a time this past week where I went several hours without peace. And I haven't done that in years. I guess the Lord had a lesson for me. And I think He may have a lesson for some of you. I trust you learn it without Him having to beat you up like He had to do with me. There was a time when I felt empty and totally without strength. I hope that you will not have to go through that kind of thing. Before you realize that you are not in the right frame of reference for spirituality. It was an unusual week. I don't want to have another one. I hope I've learned my lesson. Father, we come to You thanking You for loving us enough to even let Your Holy Spirit teach us the hard lessons of life that we have to learn because we are not faithful. We do not make application of Your word, at least not properly. So, Father, thank You for this past week and for the lessons that were learned. Help each one of us to make the applications that Your word would indicate. And Father, may we be faithful to You and the Lord Jesus Christ and to Your word and to the commands we find in Your word. And Father, may we be obedient. And we will praise You for all that You do because, Father, we love You and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.